Sling the Biscuit. This will be episode 31. You'll be joined by my amazing co-host of the City of Winnipeg, top morning show in the city. Damn right, it's Mr. Dave Wheeler. How are you?
I got a challenge for you. I want you to start, every time you announce what episode it is, you have to think of a hockey player with the jersey number 31.
Curtis Joseph.
Ooh, good for you.
That was fast.
Carey Price as well.
Yeah, he's done though. He's retired.
Yeah, okay.
He's retired.
All right. Curtis. Oh, so is Curtis Joseph.
That's very true. Here, I'll do you one better. 32, Kari Lehtinen, 33.
No. Save those for next week and the week after. I'm just talking about 31.
Okay. Well, coming out of the gate swinging here. Speaking, it's trade deadline day. Actually, next week is 32. Jonathan Quick just got dumped to the Columbus Blue Jackets and then flipped this morning to Vegas. What a whirlwind couple days for him.
What have you done for me lately? The good old National Hockey League. Actually, it's funny. I was on my radio morning show this morning, and I was at the bottom of every hour I do the sports. And I know this is a bit of a flex, but there's nobody that does a sports report in the entire city of Winnipeg better than me. And I go ahead and check. I guarantee you. I mean, I'm running audio from like ATP tennis. I'm running Wrexham AFC audio highlights. I'm running highlights nobody else does. Not only do I announce MJHL scores, I announce MMJHL scores. Like, it's pretty comprehensive, and I managed to get in within 3-4 minutes at the bottom of every hour. But I was talking about how the Jets are on a bit of a slide right now, and how Cheval Day off the GM of the Jets needs to do some things before the deadline. And I
whispered into the microphone, and I said, I'm really sorry if you're listening right now, Tyler Myers, but I think you might be on the chopping block. Logan Stanley. I think you might be on the chopping block.
And then 2 hours before we started recording, I was reading online, Logan Stanley has requested a trade from the Winnipeg Jets. So, I don't know, maybe he was listening. He thought, well, screw this. I'm out of here.
I think there's one thing that we have learned collectively, both you and I, in 31 episodes of doing this podcast, is that I think we may have a little bit more pull and more leverage than we lead to believe between manifesting trades into action, people listening to the podcast complaining every week about the things that I say, and then you facilitating trades for Kevin Cheveldayoff and the Winnipeg Jets.
Can I get a little spiritual here for a second? I know I did on last podcast a little bit regarding, you know, the big book, but there's a good buddy of mine, one of my best buddies, and he and I do another podcast called Wheeler After Dark, and we do it weekly. And he married a actual intuitive medium practicing psychic witch. Like, there's no other... No, I'm serious. There's no other way to describe it. That's what she does for a living. And I was hanging
She's
out with...
She's a witch?
She is 100... Like, she'll tell her. She'll tell you. Like, I'm a witch. Most basic way of explaining what I do is I'm a witch. She is a... You know, she does... conjures things and puts pictures and lights things on fire. And there's different sages and a whole bunch of... It's not my wheelhouse, but I don't disrespect it. It's, you know, whatever. But she said manifesting, whatever you decide to call that, whether it be manifesting or putting things out into the universe or praying or whatever you think it is, it's powerful. And if you believe in it enough, it's very powerful. So that's a little note to all of the young hockey players out there. The second you think, oh, I don't think I'm good enough, then you're not. If you think you are good enough, and I'm not saying you got to go out there and be, you know, Conor McGregor and strutting around like you're the cock of the walk. I'm not saying you have to tell everybody. Like the documentary Full Swing that's on Netflix right now, Rory McIlroy said, I was a cocky kid. He says, there wasn't a single person that I didn't tell I'm going to be the greatest golfer in the world. It worked for him, but it doesn't mean you have to tell everybody. It just means that you have to be confident in yourself and confident and put it on the universe saying, you know what? I am good enough to make this team. I am good enough to go out and score a goal today. I am good enough to go out and score and save 40 shots, whatever it may be. Everyone has, and she'll tell you this, everyone has that ability. You gotta start here. You gotta start right there, believe in yourself, and then put that out into the universe, and the universe will respond. So again, you know, I like to think that nobody's quite got it figured out, so I'm willing to listen to all different factions of things, and I thought that was a really good lesson. And I think a lot of different spiritual thoughts and ideologies would tell you the same thing. You gotta be confident in yourself, humble, but confident in yourself enough to be able to achieve these things.
I think the line Conor McGregor had was, I am cocky in my attitude. I am confident in the preparation, and that's the fine line between the two. But actually, it's a good thing you mentioned off the top. It's actually kind of gets into our headliner for the day. First off, would you trade me based on the haircut that I have today? If you're on the video version, you can see the fresh stew. But if you're on the audio version, my woman is very pissed that my hair is significantly shorter. Thoughts? Trade me? Third round pick?
Well, listen, I'll be honest with you. I know that we're moving forward in technology. I'm just impressed that Supercuts has a drive-through now. I mean, nice job.
I don't even own a car.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they were able to do it off the SkyTrain in Vancouver, that's even more impressive.
I was just literally going to say, this is brand new, breaking news, new technology. They have the West Coast limo, SkyTrain as we call it here in Vancouver, and it just pulls right into the Supercuts, and as she's, you know, buzzing by Metrotown and 22nd Street Station, hang your head out the side and just hope it comes out even. And here we are, which is why I'm a little bit right side heavy on the fade. But do you like it? Hopefully.
Yeah, like, well, listen, no? Hey, you know, I've seen that hairstyle come in and out of style about three times as long as I've been alive, so I'm glad to see it's back. It was never bad, and it just seems to go away, and then now it's back again. Great. Yeah, hey, keep the side short. I'm cool with that. Speaking of the train, and I'm going to pull this into a goaltender that I used to play for and defended, not only on the ice, but off the ice. My God, the amount of bar fights I got into because of this guy just being a goalie, a weird goalie. He ended up becoming a civil engineer. Graduated BCIT, actually worked, and I think not that line that you took, but one of the newer lines that they built for the Olympics back in 2006?
Yes. Quick little expose on that. So in Vancouver, there's three SkyTrain lines. There's the Expo line that was built for the 1986 Expo, hence. There's the Millennium line, which was built at the dawn of the
for the millennials?
Millennium. that as well. If you can't afford a vehicle, because nobody can afford a house or a vehicle in this day and age. And finally, the Canada line, which is built specifically for the 2010 Olympics to take you all the way down from downtown to Richmond, which is cool.
So, big hockey fan, and actually resides out in Campbell River. He was the guy I was telling you about that owns the Tim Hortons out there in Campbell River. Darcy Purcell's his name. If anyone's out in Campbell River or anywhere out in the island, if you're in Comox and you want to take a drive, tell Darcy Purcell that the Slang and the Biscuit podcast said hello. But he was working as a civil engineer and worked on that project. And I said to him, when it was going on, I'm like, dude, like, you're frontline Olympics. Like, tell me you're getting tickets for the gold medal game just in case Canada makes it, which they ended up getting the golden goal. And he's like, nah, dude. He goes, as soon as the Olympics starts, he goes, I'm taking a 2-week vacation. I'm like, why? And he says, once you see the Olympics from my point of view, it's not about sport anymore. It's all about money. And I think that's very similar to the conversation that you and I have had about the business of hockey and the business of sport. And I think that was his, oh my God, this spoiled me on a moment, because he was kind of still living in that fantasy land of, oh my God, sports is the greatest. And it's just going out there and competing and being the best you possibly can. And it's still like the Olympics, like it was back in, you know, in Athens, Greece. And I think he realized that that is a business as much as it is anything else.
I could be wrong. This does maybe borderline on political, but I remember hearing that I think a month before the Olympics came to Vancouver in 2010, they cleared out all the homeless people from downtown, all the tent cities, all the shelters. They moved them on out, I believe, to Surrey. So about an hour-ish drive away.
Yeah.
Got them out of downtown. Hey, look at how clean our downtown is. Now, obviously, they've made their way back, you know, stronger than ever before. But
I had heard something similar, and it's nothing new. And I'll piggyback on that with the story. But what I had heard of what they did in Van was they went around, like, door to door, or, you know, tent to tent down on East Hastings, and they're like, hey, where are you from originally? Like, where's your home? And they're like, Regina. They're like, you know what? Why don't you go visit your family? Here's a bus ticket to Regina. And they're like, sweet. I'm going to go hawk this and see if I can get some more drugs.
It's a currency.
Free bus ticket. Sweet. What they did in Brazil when it was in Rio de Janeiro, the Summer Olympics, they actually built a wall. Like, I'm talking like a 20-foot wall from the airport to where you'd have to get to the athlete's village or any of the Olympic events. So in on the other side of that wall was the worst of the worst when it came to homelessness, and they didn't want any visitors from around the world seeing that. Like, I'm not saying they spent Donald Trump money on a wall, but they spent a good amount of money to make sure that that stuff was very much away from the public eye, and especially journalists.
That's interesting. We're going to build a wall, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
By the way. Tab will be waiting for you. Don't forget to tip your server. Speaking of money, when there was one note last week, I missed an amazing opportunity to make a potential hilarious connection. We talked about Connor Hellebuck saving the Winnipeg Jets. No decor. It's because he makes the Hellebucks.
Hey.
That is his responsibility to win games for the team. Anyway, yeah. Welcome to Sling the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 31. If you're still listening somehow, we appreciate it. It's good to have you on board. This week's headliner, Fed Zeno. We got some Fed Zeno news, as always. People ask me, why is it called the Fed Zeno? Have we talked about this before or no?
Well, it's no different than, just to catch you up a little bit, you know, hockey players love giving nicknames to absolutely everything. I mean, you can't even call it a casino. You call it the Chino, right?
Or the Nino.
Or the everything gets a nickname. So the Fed Zeno, which is the Federal League, and you can fill in the blanks on that one.
I must give credit where credit is due. I did not come up with the Fed Zeno. Big Sexy, Elias Thompson. I remember we were, I think we were on the bus. We were at the bus. We might have been having pizza at one of the restaurants in town. Go figure, the official meal of the FPHL. But he says, Fed Zeno, boys, she'll get the best of you every time, 9 times out of 10 or something. And then from there, it just stuck in my head. So Fed Zeno is credit to Big Sexy. I did not come up with that. I don't really know what it means, but Fed Zeno sounds good.
Is Elias still with the Motor City Rockers? I can't see them getting rid of that guy. He's a pretty core piece of the puzzle.
Big Sexy is still with the team. Yeah, yeah. They've cleaned house. Honestly, in the last month, they've really cleaned house. They've cut the whole leadership group, traded our boy E.T., Everett Thompson, to Binghamton with the Black Bears. They cut one of our other leadership guys, sent him home. They've shaken up a lot. The whole team is just turned on upside his head. But Big Sexy is still there. My boy Babs still there. But yeah, things are changing quickly in Motor
City. Why would you get rid of Babs? He's one of the better goaltenders in the Fed, for crying out loud.
You know, why don't we use that to get into the headliner for today? Because that was one thing that I did want to talk about was, last week's episode, we talked about how so far to date, I've had interest from one team in the Fed that wants to sign me first day of free agency when I become available. Another team that is interested in making me the highest paid goaltender in the league. And now Mr. Wheeler, remind me, why does somebody want to make me the highest paid goalie in the league? Am I the best goalie in the league?
No.
Far from it.
You know what?
Hella far from it.
Can I give you a pitch when I tell people that don't listen to our podcast why they should listen to our podcast?
Please do.
Okay. So I say, people are like, oh, so you're in radio. Wow, that's fun. I'm like, yeah, I also podcast as well. I do a couple podcasts. I do one with my wife, my best buddy, who I mentioned earlier, the Sad Jaguar, and we do that weekly. And I do another one. It's a strictly hockey podcast, 95% of it, and then we talk a little bit of other stuff. I said, but it's this guy by the name of Travis Ridgen, who's from Winnipeg. And he had a average junior career. He had a below average college career. And at that point, 99% of guys, oh, you can go ahead and smile, but this is the way I pitch it. And I hope I do you justice on this one, okay? I really do. 99% of guys are like, well, you know, time to go hit the working for Manitoba Hydro, or time to go start working at the plant in Syncrude, whatever it may be, whatever that job is, that's just the fallback. Travis said, you know what? I don't think I'm quite done playing yet. I think I really like what I do. And how can I figure out a way to keep doing what I do and support myself and possibly another human being that could be in my life and travel the world? And so what he did is he started vlogging his journey through not only junior hockey, but college hockey and all the way through for the past 6 years. And then thought, well, wow, some people are actually interested in this. And the editing is really good. And the shots are really good. He bought a drone so we can get some nice overhead shots. And then he thought, wow, this is good. I really like this. And why not start a podcast? So he did a podcast for a season and it did okay. And then you and I started chatting. Turns out you and I were fans of each other with unbeknownst of each other and just kind of connected. And you invited me on to be a guest host a couple times, and here we are 31 episodes in. But I believe me when I tell you, man, I pump your tires more than you probably deserve. But I and the reason why is I think more players and more people just in general need to figure it out. If there's something that you really love to do, then just figure it out. I mean, because do you love doing YouTube? Do you love editing video? Yeah, I'm sure you like it, but you love playing hockey, and one serves the other one. Right? So
exactly. So, I love both. I love both. Like, it's like my purpose in life, it feels like.
So the fact that you still get to do what you love to do, which is go out and play hockey and do the thing that you've been doing since you were a kid and play goaltender and share behind the scenes moments weekly with your fans. By the way, that that video that you did last week, the 20 minutes of basically like, here's how I traveled from here, to Gothenburg, to Vancouver, to Montreal, to Edmonton, to Calgary, to Winnipeg, then back and forth. Absolutely incredible, to the point where even on my morning show, my co-host Tyler Carr has one of the most incredible Aprils in any radio person's career coming up. And I got you a job, by the way. I got you a job. I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not, but I got you a job. I said, I want you to film all of it, and then we're going to give it all to Travis, and he's going to edit it, and we're going to put it up as like a 20-minute vlog the entire month of April, because he's flying to Orlando with Dreams Take Flight. He's going to take a whole bunch of kids, sick kids down for the day to go to Disney World, and they're going to fly back and be back in their own beds that night. He's going to Super Nintendo World. He's hosting the Winnipeg Nightlife Gala Awards. He's got so many amazing things going on. I thought that needs to be documented. So as soon as I get it approved, the boss should be paying you about $2.50 an hour. So good luck.
It's more than what the Motor City Rockers are paying me. Can I say that? I'm still under contract, technically. I don't know if I should have said that. But
hey, for the record, I wanted to frame my first check that I ever made in radio, but I couldn't afford the frame, so I just cashed it. And my first job in radio, working probably about, no word of a lie, 60 to 70 hours a week, was $320 for the entire, for two weeks.
That's gone up, though, since then. If you would have held on to the money, it would have gone up in value. Maybe. It would have gone up, then it would have came right back down. I don't know where to begin on that. There's a couple points. First off, the hockey feeds the YouTube. Now, do I make my full-time income off of playing hockey? No. I make my full-time income off of playing hockey, filming it and sharing it online, right, monetizing it, turning it into a podcast, which, you know, like this podcast makes more than, you know, I make in the FPHL. Like, I make $500 a month when I'm playing during the season. Like, it's nothing. The YouTube and the podcast are what keep me afloat, keep the lights on, keep food in my belly, and keep this podcast going. But it didn't start off like I saw it as an opportunity to make money and keep, you know, playing hockey. It was, I have this idea to help people with, you know, reviews of equipment. That went well. I'm going to put some on-ice stuff. I'm going to mic myself up. That went well. And then when, like, right, I would say, like, 2019, I'm on the cusp between full-time and part-time. And anybody making videos, anybody making anything on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, like, this is the hardest part, I think, is the transition from I'm part-time, it's a hobby, I'm still doing other stuff for money, to I need to get over that hurdle to go full-time. Like, that's such a difficult, you know, thing to do. But I went through, it was a year and a half. It was 18 months where I did 3 videos a week, every single week. I think there was like 1 or 2 weeks where I only did 2 just because of traveling and whatnot. But 3 videos every single week for a year and a half. And that was what helped me get over the hump to go full-time. And then I started seeing, well, I think I can actually play hockey for a living and just use this as the benchmark for, you know, keeping me afloat. Because obviously, like we've talked about, you make $125 a week in the Fed, you make $250 in the SB, you come back down, you're making $170, now you're broke during the summer, you got no job, you got to go work for a construction site, which you may be able to hear because they're still building that building, and that garbage truck just left not too long ago. By the way, one cup stuck in the bottom of that can with a piece of gum, and he's just like shaking it like it's nobody's. Anyway, if you listen to last week's episode, you know what I'm talking about.
Out of curiosity, really quickly, on that note, I don't want to forget, it's the only reason why I'm cutting you off, but I know pro golfers, like I'm talking like club pros, who will claim EI over the winter. Is that not a thing for Canadian hockey players or hockey players in general when you're not playing? Can you claim EI as long as you're paying taxes?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've never claimed EI before. I never asked the guys about that. There's only two. Well, there's me, Ian White, and then another guy, Tommy Cardinal. Shout out to him. He's from Montréal, Quebec. The only 3 Canadians on the team, so I never really asked anybody else about that. The rest of the guys, they work summer jobs, coaching, construction, you name it, they do that. Nobody seems to really want to go on EI, so that's set up.
I'd love to see a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois going, so I'm not working this summer, might as well apply for EI? Is it true that I can get 65% of my paycheck? No, sir. You make $2.8 million a year. No, we can't pay. Oh, what is the maximum? Probably about $32,000 a year. Nah, that's okay. You keep that.
I can see that happening too. That's hilarious. But back to the one point that we talked about was teams aren't interested in me because I'm the best goalie in the Fed. I'm far from it. It's because I show up and people come to the rink and people are interested and people want to come see,
sure,
this traveling circus,
yeah,
shall we say, which we've described it as before. Do I have aspirations to be the best goalie in the league? Absolutely. Like I said this before and I'll say this again. Of all the goalies in the Fed, I think that Trevor Babs, our boy, is the best goalie in the Fed. Now, I don't want to disrespect Brian Wilson in Danbury. He's played legitimate AHL minutes in the American Hockey League, and he's playing in the Fed now. So I don't want to do him a disrespect, but I have not seen him on a day-to-day basis. I've talked to Willie a couple times, nice guy, but I have seen what Babs does day in, day out, practice, five practices a week, on the road, on the bus, game. Like, I don't want to say Babs is like my idol, but he's a guy that I look up to, and I say, like, that's what I need to do. That's what I want to be. And I've seen what goes into it. So I have this idea in my head of, okay, if I want to get to that level, I need to put XYZ into the equation. Like, first off, I need to get onto a team that's going to, you know, allow me to get on the ice when the puck drops. That's number one. That's the most important part. But second off, I need some seasoning to, you know, like we talked about, apply my game to the North American style, get some confidence going. These guys are skilled guys. I know people like to chirp the Fed. Like, these guys are good. It's the fifth level of pro in North America. Yeah, people may sneeze at it and say, you know what, I make more money working 3 hours at McDonald's than you do in the FPHL. Well, guess what? This is the way that the business of hockey is, and okay, these guys are seriously talented.
They are, and I actually, that reminds me of a good question, because at one point watching that vlog last week, I forgot that you had a cup of coffee in the senior league. Now, for those that don't understand, the Allen Cup is a yearly cup that's given out at, I mean, shoot, I think it's at least over 60 years old. I think I'm doing it discredit by saying that. But at one point, it was the second best trophy you could win in Canada outside of the Stanley Cup. And basically, it was smaller towns, farm boys getting together, driving 45 minutes to an hour for games and whatnot. And it was guys that just had talent. And you were they called it senior hockey. So, I mean, there was guys that had, you know, a good amount of games playing in the NHL that just went back to work on the farm and still wanted to compete. And you said that you played in the senior league for, I think I remember correctly, I wasn't cut. They just asked me to stop showing up. So
the text that I got from the guy was, you can stop showing up. You don't have to come on Friday, by the way. We'll put a check in the mail for the gas money we owe you, but don't bother coming anymore.
So out of curiosity, and I'll send a shout out to the Gladstone Lakers, who is probably, I've seen more senior league hockey games there just because of its proximity to Winnipeg and the amount of buddies I got there. But where would you rank senior hockey in comparison to the Fed?
Honestly, now granted, this is just two games and one senior league in Manitoba, but I would say if there was like a league lower than the Fed, I think senior hockey in Manitoba fits in quite nicely, to be honest with you. Mm. Guys that have played high-level junior A, Western League minutes, college minutes, pro minutes. You know, it's mixed in with some guys that maybe didn't play great hockey, but you sprinkle that across the board. I think it's lesser than the Fed, but it's still good hockey. Mm.
It is good hockey, man. It is. And, I mean, it's in those classic country barns more often than not. I mean, you're not going to see a senior team in Winnipeg. You're going to see one in Gladstone. You're going to see one in Neepawa. Yeah. You're going to see one in Portage la Prairie. You're going to see one in, I don't think Fort McMurray even had one, but I mean, you're going to see ones in like Strathcona and Fort Saskatchewan, places like that. I mean, outside of the city, outside of the small town city. And I love that. I love the fact that guys are still going out and playing high level hockey. And they got, I'll be honest with you, not to sound like a dick, but some of them got better crowds than what I'm seeing in the Fed right now.
It's tough. It's a tough look on the live streams. You can't change the you can smudge the numbers on the official FPHL website, but you cannot smudge the way it looks on the live stream for some games. But
I watched one game the other night on YouTube, and you know, I usually use the joke family and friends nights only, but I think this was just family only. I don't think there was any friends in the house.
No. Nobody had any friends in Harrington, Delaware to come to the game. But back to the point that I was making before was that I'm not the best goalie in the league by far. I've only played 44 minutes, two game appearances, no starts. I'm looking to crack that, you know, pop that cherry, shall we say, and get some experience on the belt and prove that I can be the goalie that I think I can become. It's going to take a couple games, maybe 8 to 10 games, build some confidence, build a real good game plan, and showcase what I can do, finding a team that will allow me to come. But that's why teams are interested, is because of the traveling circus that brings people to the rink. I mean, coaches, you know, give me shit for, you know, talking to people outside the gates in Binghamton. But it's like, those are the people that are paying the ticket prices for us to be in the arena having a job tonight. So, I don't know. It's a give and take. Also, one thing worth noting as well is the free agent camp that we talked about as well. That's in August 3rd through 6th in Elmira. The reason why I wanted to to pitch the idea potentially of going to this free agent camp was I would be signed by a team, whether it be Motor City or one of these other teams, because again, Motor City still owns my rights, but I'm not going to be able to experience real hockey with my hip for a while. And I thought that beginning of August would be a great time. Go out for a couple days, experience some competition. Yes, it's not the real, you know, heart of the season, but see where we're at, see how the hip is healed and say, okay, maybe we got to make some changes, change this, change that. Maybe we're not there quite yet. Maybe we got to rehab some more things further. But I want to be 100% ready to go, and I want to deliver on opening night wherever that is if I get an opportunity.
So
there's no smoke and mirrors. This is the straight goods.
So is that a thing where you have to ask Motor City to say, hey, just for my rehab, I want to go to this free agent camp, or is that just I can go whenever I want, that kind of thing?
I wouldn't just show up. I think it's a bad look. It's like, Well, you're signed under contract. Why are you at a free agent camp? You know, like I would call them and say,
hang on. Well, when is free agency? What's first? Is it after that camp or before that camp?
Okay, so I could be wrong, and I'm sure somebody listening on the video version or the audio version will correct me. But so the way it would work was the season ends April 15th. Playoffs is very short. It's a three-game series, and a five-game for the championship, I believe. Playoffs are done first week of May-ish. It's a very quick turnaround. And then from there, the expansion draft, so protect your players, don't protect them. And then the Baton Rouge, West Virginia, and Trenton, New Jersey get dibs. I don't know if New Jersey's confirmed, but I know Baton Rouge and Virginia, Wydeville, Virginia are confirmed. They'll take a stab at whoever they want. And then if I'm not picked up, which I could get picked up, I could not. Who knows? Depends on if the Baton Rouge and Virginia people are thinking the same way that this management personnel, the one that makes me want to make me the highest paid goalie in the league. If they're thinking the same way, maybe they'll take a stab at me. I don't know. If they don't, I remain Motor City property. But I believe if I don't sign, I can go wherever I want. But if I don't sign anywhere, Motor City owns my rights after that for 3 years after the original signing date. It's very confusing, and it feels to me kind of like it depends on the rule book that they use on that day, as we've alluded to that before, what rule book we use in today.
For a league that pays as little as they do, I find it amazing that they're able to have that kind of grip on your rights. Because and listen, this is just one thing about my industry is the government wants you to make more money because you pay more taxes. So if a company is going to stop me from going to another job where I'm going to make more money, they technically can't stop me from doing that. They would have to pay me equivalent to keep me off the air if they don't want me to go to that station, but they can't stop me from making more money. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. But that's not how the Fed Zeno and Minor Pro work, though. It's There's no union. There's no players association. It's just
no union. It's a matter of having a good lawyer, which again, no one can afford anyways, right?
It's very true. Apparently, well, actually, not apparently. This is true. The team in Elmira couldn't afford to bring their own jerseys to the game. How funny was that?
That
clip.
Well,
I'll put the clip on the video version of the podcast. So the Elmira Mammoth traveled to Motor City, and I turn on the live stream on YouTube, and I see the Elmira jerseys, and I'm thinking to myself, those look awfully familiar. And then I look closer. Those are the Fraser Roller Hockey jerseys. What is going on?
Yeah.
And so apparently, and obviously the Fraser Roller Hockey team plays in the Big Boy Arena where Motor City was, and I see those jerseys on a regular basis, you know, hanging around the arena. And so Elmira travels from, you know, New York to Motor City, and I guess they decided when they left, they said, you know what? Our jerseys are still wet. Whatever. We're not going to bring them. We'll deal with it later. Went from New York to Michigan with no jerseys, showed up and said, can we borrow some jerseys? Like, what a league.
Wow. Well, listen, we talked earlier on this podcast in the first 10 episodes about how your equipment guy forgot your knee pads. And thank God the GM from the other team, wherever you were, ran to his house and grabbed you knee pads, a visiting team. That's one thing. I mean, you forget something as simple as knee pads. But you forget your unis? Like, all of them? Do you not think that even the bus driver should be like, hey, it feels a little light. Can we forget a player? No, it's good. Keep it. Kevin! It feels like the whole Home Alone thing, right? You realize halfway through the flight, I guarantee you, halfway through that trip, he went, oh no, I know exactly where the jerseys are. And that whole time, he just had that feeling like, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm forgetting something. And halfway through, it's like, too late to turn around now. I guess we're going to borrow jerseys. I guarantee you, halfway through that trip, he realized that he forgot those unis.
If I had to bet money on it, I'll bet you the equipment manager forgot them. They made like an hour or two in the trip, and he thinks to himself, if we don't tell coach, he can't get mad. If he doesn't find out, he'll never get mad.
Right.
You think they're going to find out? No, they'll never find out. So why don't we just, we won't say anything, and then like we'll find a way to get ourselves some jerseys when we get to Motor City. Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Hey, no, it's like, It's like the old blacktop when you're playing basketball. It's like, all right, shirts and skins, let's go. Just go out with no jersey. All right, if you're wearing a jersey, you're on that team. No jersey, you're on that team. You're good.
Elias, you can't play for Elmira. Well, you said skins. You got to – Elias, put a shirt on, damn it.
There's actually – I'm going to give you a bit of a behind the scenes into a movie script that I've been working on for, 15 years with one of my best buddies who used to play for the Manhattanville Valiants, actually, in Division III college. And he and I worked on this hockey script. And the pitch to Hollywood is it's necessary roughness on ice. I don't know if you remember that movie or not. Scott Bakula, he was a football player who was past his eligibility, but he had 1 year left, so he went and played with his team. Anyways, because in the NCAA, you have to wear full cages, right? So he found a loophole where he just wore a kicker's bar right across here. He's like, that's NCAA approved. It's NCAA approved. I can wear this. And he got away, so we have one guy on the ice wearing a kicker's bar across his helmet. From ear to ear.
What style? What a weapon.
Right?
I like that. It's different. It's different. By the way, just for fact-based, so Elmira went with the roller hockey jerseys for the Saturday night, or sorry, excuse me, for the Friday night game, and then they overnighted the jerseys for the Saturday night game. So I don't know if, you know, somebody made some phone calls and, you know, some bells were rung, but they got some jerseys. So
thank you, UPS.
It's a $5,000 tab for getting the jerseys overnighted.
Crazy. Oh, we'll put you as a sponsor on the back of the jerseys for a couple games. We'll call it even. Thanks. Or we'll get you a hotel room and a steak dinner.
We'll give you our bus that doesn't work. No motor included. Motor sold separately. We're in Motor City.
It's Motor City, not Motor Bus.
You know what would have sucked so much? If they overnighted the jerseys and the other guy at the FedEx says, okay, that'll be $5,000. By the way, we don't guarantee they'll get there in time. It's fine. Pays the bill. They didn't show up till Monday.
Nope. Let's go back to the old Pony Express.
You get on that horse and you ride, cowboy. You get it there on time.
Horse and buggy.
All right.
To all home games. just to bring back to the one of the previous points that I made, though, top three goalies in the Fed. My boy Babs, Trevor Babin. I've seen him day in and day out. I have the utmost respect for him, and that is what I aspire to be. Close second, Brian Wilson and Dan Burry. He's got AHL games played. And we'll go Trevor Martin and Dan or in Delaware. Guy's played for the Calgary Hitmen, Red Deer Rebels. Guy gets 60 shots a night, 70 shots a night in Delaware, and they somehow managed to win games. I'll bet you anything, that guy, in the middle of his sleep, he's just sound asleep, and he's just, you know, shell-shocked. He's making saves in his sleep. He's getting peppered so much. Delaware set the record, though. I believe they won one of their opening night games. They set the record for most consecutive losses in pro hockey history with 29. They beat Elmira once. They beat Elmira twice, Elmira being the second worst team in the league. And then they beat Columbus, the top team in the league, with Trevor Martin making 60 saves, getting outshot 60-15 or whatever it was, and they ended up winning 4-3. So shout out to him. He's my third pick. As far as the rest go, I haven't seen everybody play in the Fed Xeno. But as far as four through however many goalies are in the league, they're interchangeable, just depending on different nights.
I wish I could remember his name, but there was a guy who was like late 30s, had basically done what you were doing, just kind of grinding it out through the minors, and got a shot to play through a lot of injuries and ended up playing a game with the LA Kings. Do you remember this guy at all?
Ooh.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yutaka Fukufuji?
Nah, the name doesn't sound familiar. But anyways, the guy got one game, and it was just like, they're just like, wow, you know, this is what perseverance and dedication, you know, pays off for. And it was like a big round of applause thing, and no one ever heard from him again. I can't even remember his name, but it was memorable to me because I just thought, you know what? You try hard enough and you never give up, and yeah, you'll get a cup of coffee. Why not?
Like Forrest Gump once said, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. By the way, I do have a bone to pick with that. You do know what's in the box of chocolates. If you flip it on the backside, it tells you exactly what's in the box.
Yeah.
So Forrest Gump was full of shit.
Depends on the box. And at the same time, you're looking at stuff going, what does Moon Rock Cadbury mean? I have no idea what that means. I sound like I'm from King of the Hill now. I don't know what that means. I ain't going to eat that.
Yeah, you're making a mistake, Dave. You're forgetting. It wouldn't be like that. It'd be more like this. It'd be like, Jenny, what's in the box? Well, what is in the box is a pair of Sheath underwear from our presenting sponsor, the team of Sheath Underwear. What do you say, Dave?
There you go. And Jenny would love those underwear, believe me, because from what I hear, Forrest Gump not only ran long, he ran down too. Sheath Underwear. I'm actually wearing them right now.
Let's see these. Wow.
Right? There we go.
Impressive.
Yeah. Hey, look how pale I am. from the winter vortex. Yeah, sheath underwear. I actually got my buddy Jaguar that I was talking about earlier because I got him onto the brand that we don't mention anymore. And he says, oh, those are a game changer. I'm like, oh, okay, you're ready for the next level, man. You're ready to jump from the Fed to the SP to the EC now. These are the NHL right now. Like, you're ready to make that jump. Sheath underwear. It just compartmentalizes everything. Compartmentalizes everything. And it's nice. And it's you don't even feel like you have to do the old adjustment. By the way, there's always one thing that's always bothered me. Is like if a dude has to adjust like this, right? And they're like, oh, my God. He was playing with himself. You know what women I've seen kind of do? You know, like, oh, sorry, I got to adjust here real quick. No guy goes, oh, my God. She was fondling herself. This avoids all of that. And they even have the bralettes for the ladies to make sure it stays right there all day long. For the boys, stays right there all day long. You don't have to worry about playing the old pocket ball. Like, ha, yeah, hey, how's it going? Ooh. And give the old tug. No, you're good. You're set for the day. And the best part is when you go to use the urinal, you don't have to take everything down. It's like the old tidy whities where it's got that little like cross beam where you can just kind of, you know, say, woohoo, hello. And then put it right back in. It's perfect.
It's like putting the gopher in the hole. Sheath Underwear is nationally, and it is the best that it can get. And when you go to sheathunderwear.com, use the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, you get 20% off the best underwear money can buy. It is nationally. You get a set of sheath underwear. You put the gopher in the hole, my goodness. Back up the Brinks truck. You're going to be having a successful date night. I'll tell you that. Only from the team at Sheath Underwear. Wow. I think I just had a stroke there, and you just witnessed it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you smelled burnt toast. You all right?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I think you're good.
Burning your toast. Why don't we talk about this is one thing I wanted to talk about real quick. Jonathan Quick for the Kings. I know we mentioned him off the top of the show. Oh, man. Like, in all seriousness, the Kings trading Jonathan Quick to the Columbus Blue Jackets. The man is going to need surgery and a lot of therapy to take that knife out of his back that the Kings management just put in there. You have, in my opinion, the most winning goalie.
Two-time Stanley Cup winner.
And this guy delivered. If you look at his stats, he's been an all right regular season goalie. Playoff time comes around, and there's nobody better. If I'm putting money on a goaltender in the National Hockey League the last 20 years, I need to win a game, I'm putting Jonathan Quick in net. Jonathan Quick, Henrik Lundqvist, when it came down to crunch time, he closed out all four series against the Canucks, Blues, Coyotes, and Devils in that one cup run in 2012. 2013, started okay, ended up coming back hot against the Blues, the Sharks, and then the Hawks in the Western Conference Final. Kind of struggled a little bit. It felt like the Hawks kind of got his number. And then 2014, they fall down 3-0 to the Sharks, but they get closed out. All of a sudden, you woke up playoff Jonathan Quick. They come back. They close him out in Game 7. And then who did they play in Round 2? They played the Ducks. Fall down 2-0. They went up 2-0. They fall down 3-2. Then they come back to beat the Ducks in 7. And then Western Conference Final. Chicago Blackhawks, they had their number. They beat him in Game 7 of overtime. He keeps him in the game. Big, big, big saves. And then closes out the Cup in 2014 against the Rangers with probably one of the better goaltending performances of the century. Game 3 against the Rangers, the 3-0 shutout win. So the guy has single-handedly won you Cups, gotten you into the playoffs, and then you trade him to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, like, okay, but look. I hear you. Dude was front of the parade line. He was talking on stage at the Stanley Cup race. I get it. He just turned 37 in late January. 37. What have you done for me lately? That was a salary dump. That's all that was.
That was a conspiracy theory until Columbus dumped him to Vegas earlier this morning. So Columbus had to take on Quick to make the Columbus trade work. And they said, just take him. Okay, sure, we'll take him. And they dumped him over to Vegas. So now Jonathan Quick is going to be playing for the Vegas Golden Knights on a much better team. And there's nothing that I would love more than to see Jonathan Quick and the Vegas Golden Knights take on the Kings and him close with the Kings in a way that only playoff Jonathan Quick can do. Wouldn't that be full circle?
I hear you, but look at it this way. So it's no different than the Patrick Kane trade to the Rangers because it had to go through the Coyotes. So the Blackhawks carry 50% of his paycheck, Rangers pay 25, and the Coyotes pay 25. And that's the only way they can get the deal done is if they went on a three-way. This is the same kind of thing. They had to wheel it down so they can do a salary dump. So LA still probably keeping 50% of his paycheck, and then Columbus is paying 25, getting a couple draft picks out of it, and then Vegas gets a most likely a really good, reliable guy that can go in, like you said, for the playoffs and only paying him 25% of his paycheck. I don't know the exact details on that, but my logical brain says that's probably what happened.
Well, I mean, he hasn't had the greatest season this year, but you look in the 2013 Western Conference.
Yeah, but the Kings are
Western
fighting
Conference.
For first. They're fighting for the division lead in the Pacific.
I know. But I'm just saying, you look at 2013 when they went in the cut or the conference final run against the Hawks, and then 2014 as well. I know it was 10 years ago. But had a terrible West regular season and then turned it on in playoffs. So he's not having a great year this year. Maybe he turns it on in playoffs. I don't know. But if I'm a betting man, I would definitely put some money on that.
You know,
one of the greatest goaltenders last decade.
I know. We did the whole episode, how much you love Jonathan Quick. When he was playing high school and college, you know who he was like 1 and 2 with, and it was back and forth, who's going to be the better goaltender? Jonathan Quick
or Schneider.
Corey Schneider. Corey Schneider. Absolutely right, yeah.
Your boy who likes to juggle knives on the weekends.
See, I love that. It went from like, we threw a couple knives at the back of a door, and now we're juggling them. This is great. The game of telephone.
You want to tell that story?
I've told it before, but yeah, we were out. He was playing for the Manitoba Moose, and we were hanging out one night. We ended up back at my place, and I had this door that I was planning on getting rid of anyways. And we just started grabbing kitchen knives. I'm like, do you know how to throw a knife? He's like, no. I was like, let me show you. We just started pegging knives into the back of the door. Luckily, my wife came in from behind us, not from that door. She's like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, we're getting rid of the door anyways. We're good. So, Corey Schneider, careful. Corey Schneider now knows how to throw a knife.
Is it anything like Jack and Rose in Titanic when Jack's like, I want you to hit the door. Okay, bang, yep. That's the one spot. Okay, Rose, I need you to hit the same spot again. Okay, ready? 6 feet over. You know what? We're fine. Let's just do this. Let's get it over with. There's no more need for practice. You're going to kill me anyway.
Take these cuffs off. Let's go. Let's go. What else we got? We're running short on time here.
What do we got? We got a story about Dustin Byfuglien coming to camp for the Winnipeg Jets. I remember when he came in at, I think they weighed him in at 290. I was told by a goalie who was in the organization at the time. The Jets told him after the season, this was right after their playoff run their playoffs against the Ducks, said, Buff, you're 260. You got to come in a little bit lighter. Well, he came in at 320. The management said he needed to lose some weight. He comes in at 320. I believe they clocked him in at 290. And they fired the entire strength and conditioning coach staff and the nutritional staff for that and said, your fault. And then obviously it doesn't help when Andre Pavlik comes in at 280 and they marked him down for, I think it was 250 or 240. But people's jobs.
Here's the thing. In Hollywood, you're not allowed to do that anymore, at least when it comes to the women's side. There was a scene, I think we mentioned this last week, about was it Knocked Up, where they're like, we're not saying you have to lose weight, but when you get on the scale, it should say less than this number. But in professional sports, obviously, you're going after the physique. Now, when it came to Dustin Byfuglien, I don't think it mattered how much he weighed. I really don't think how much. His give-a-shit level didn't matter. It really didn't matter. He played so well. He could have played at 350, and he still would have dominated the game, and he still would have moved silky smooth out on the ice. He was just that good. Brett Hull got cut by the Calgary Flames because he was overweight and then went to St. Louis and became like a record holder. Like, are you kidding me? Really? Is that going to dictate? Not the guy's gameplay? You're going to be like, well, I don't know. I think he's looking at his stats here. It looks like he smokes too many cigarettes. So what? Can he put the puck in the net? Is that what you care about? Can he knock guys off their skates? Can he dictate the game every time he's on the ice? Is that what matters? Put him on the ice. See how he plays at 320. Maybe he's better at 320.
Dude, I think you can attest to this because you've obviously been around a lot of guys in, you know, National League locker rooms and American League locker rooms. But when you look at hockey, professional hockey, it is crazy how many guys actually hate hockey. There's guys in the American League, in the ECHL, in the NHL, they hate hockey. They have no interest in doing it, but it's all they've done their entire life, and it's what they're really damn good at. And Dustin Byfuglien is one of those guys where, to be honest, he'd probably rather be fishing, getting drunk on a boat, than playing for the Winnipeg
Jets.
That's
the absolute truth. That is the 100% absolute truth.
He's probably doing that right now.
Brooks Koepka on the PGA Tour, or on the LIV Tour now. Another great example. He doesn't care. He wanted to be a baseball player, and he had some injuries that couldn't play baseball, and turns out he's actually pretty good at golf. He doesn't care about golf. He couldn't give a rat's ass about golf, but he wants to make money, and this is a great way to do it, so he's going to do that as long as he can.
I mean, right before you and I started doing this version of the show, the previous version of the show, when I did it with Pat Shea, he was another guy where the guy doesn't give a shit about hockey. He's just naturally talented at it, to be honest. probably doesn't really even want to play hockey, but like, what else is he going to do for a living and do with his life? So he plays hockey while he, you know, buys time to find to do something else. Same thing as me. Granted, I don't make a shit ton of money playing hockey like everybody else does, but I don't know what else I'm good at. I don't know what else to do. So you just carry on with it. But I'm different though. Like, I don't hate hockey. I generally love hockey, and these guys all, they just hate it and they're kind of tired of it.
Kind of like my dad. Never liked being a father, and he wasn't very good at it. So, you know.
I didn't know this turned into a therapy podcast.
This right here. This is my therapy. This is my therapy right here.
A couple things before we cap off this week's episode of the podcast. So we had a little bit of a setback in my hip rehab. Want to talk about that real quick?
Uh-oh. What do you mean?
Okay. So my therapist, my physiotherapist told me
you're not going to break my heart, are you?
No, not yet. Give it some time. So my physiotherapist, shout out Derek at Footbridge. Derek, if you're in Vancouver, you need something fixed. Derek at Footbridge has been game-changing for me. He's the man. But so Derek and I were talking about, hey, like, we've made significant progress. I was just squatting. I was front squatting with a barbell, 100 pounds on Monday, and doing trap bar deadlifts with about 60 pounds. Like, we're doing some seriously advanced stuff for like where I am at only 8 weeks after surgery, less than 8 weeks. And so the plan was tonight, as of recording the podcast, I was supposed to skate in just skates, kind of get a feel. I came to physio on Monday and I says, okay, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to skate. It's going to make me happy. They're going to give me some more purpose. And he says, so Trav, I was doing some research. I was reaching out to some certain people in the community who, you know, work with NHL teams, work with American League teams. And the consensus that I got was there is zero benefit to you skating in skates outside of it makes you happy. And I said, well, yeah, I love hockey. So like, if I start skating, I'll be happy. And he's like, well, the risk of you falling or tripping or jamming your hip could potentially undo everything and set us back even further than when you got the surgery. So I'm going to ask you to not skate. And the plan is no skating, period, in regular skates. We're going to wait until I come back first couple days of April with my gear. And we're just going to go straight into full gear because I'm going to be going home to Winnipeg, I believe, on March 27th. And then I'll be back on April 5th or April 6th or whatever it is with my gear. And that, full gear, that'll be the first time that I skate. So,
okay.
Heartbreaking, but.
Yeah. I'm going to play Switzerland on this one, which I hate doing. I'm going to ride the fence. And actually, I got great advice once upon a time from a guy by the name of Charles Adler. You're out in the West Coast. You might remember that name or be familiar with that name. And he said, he gave me great advice in radio. And he says, be on one side of the fence or the other. The only people that ride the fence are pussycats because they have the balance. So I'm gonna ride the fence on this one. Now, I understand because in the grand scheme of things, you getting on skates is really not going to further your rehab. It's not. I mean, you actually getting down in the crouch, you getting down in the crouch and doing your thing left and right and moving and twisting the legs and all that kind of stuff, that makes sense. You just going out on skates, it's going to go da 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 and doing like a slap shot final scene where you're kicking off your shin pads. Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. But on the other side of the coin, what are we trying to do here? I think medical science has shown that natural endorphins are really good for rehab. If you're happy, then you're going to recover quickly. If you're miserable during your rehab, you're going to recover slower. If this makes you happy just to go out for a, like, just for like a regular skate, just to be happy, then great. Then go. Then do it. Have fun. The risk of you falling, you're a professional hockey player. You're likely not going to fall if you're moving at 5 kilometers an hour. Give me a break. Does that make that doesn't make any sense. Go get your skates on. Go skate at a local rink. Go. If it makes you happy, go skate.
Well, less than that. I'll be going at like a school zone pace, 30 kilometers an hour. But I think, and this is just my opinion, I think that he sees like we've made so much progress. Like NHL guys, like elite level athletes, when they get surgery, if say they got, you know, the hip surgery on the same timeline I did, January 4th, they would expect them to be in full gear beginning of May, and then 100% back to action middle of June. And that's the timeline. But we are significantly ahead of schedule. So I think Derek sees that. And he says, if I let him get in the skates, he might slip up. Let's keep him hungry. Let's keep him nose to the grindstone. And then when he comes back, he's going to be even in better shape.
Does that make you hungry? Does that keep your nose to the grindstone? Or does it bum you out a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Give me a couple of days and I'll probably get over it and I'll probably get back to work. But seeing the progress, it's like I can taste it now. I can taste getting on the ice and
that's
getting back to
the partly on them, too, for telling you, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have you on skates, buddy. Shut up!
Hey, do you want to go over my surgery pictures
can
on YouTube?
Hell yeah, okay. I do.
So a little disclaimer here. We're going to finish with this in the podcast. If you're on the video version, you're going to be able to see this. If you're on the audio version, you're just going to be able to hear this, thank goodness. We might have to cut this out altogether if YouTube flags it, but my surgeon emailed me the pictures of my surgery, finally. Now, I'm going to put them up on the screen here. I'm going to break them down for you here as we go through them. So the surgery.
Ooh, that looks like
you're
going
to see. So the first picture here, you're going to see on the screen. The pink thing, that is my labrum, completely detached and in the way, obstructing your view. That is not supposed to happen. So the piece on the right, that is my hip. On the left, that is my labrum. That is not supposed to be there.
So it's not supposed to look like Pac-Man on the bottom? Those are supposed to be connected?
No, you're supposed to have a nice clear view of the whole skyline from there, if that makes sense. But if we fast forward to this picture right here, the second last one that I received, the silver piece in the middle, that is the bone burring machine that is just going in there and repairing, re-anchoring my labrums back into place.
Oh, yeah.
So there's four anchors he put down, kind of cool. And then the final picture here, my labrum has been anchored back into place. We're ready to roll, and I can feel it to this day that it's not loose anymore. I remember the feeling before, and just this clamping feeling is gone. It's fantastic.
Why does this all look like shots that the Mars rover took?
I don't know. I guess in the medical field, they haven't been able to afford better cameras, just these little pencil neck cameras for the time being.
These all look like NASA photos, just saying.
I took a walk into the dark side of the moon inside my hip.
But this is fascinating. This is really cool.
I know. I found it very, very cool as well.
Yeah,
unfortunately, just
hashtag NASA when you put it up on YouTube, and then they won't flag it. They're like, oh, those are planets. The pictures of planets. All good.
It's a black hole.
Yeah. Oh, it sure is.
Apparently, my surgeon told me that when they were photographing, like taking off the actual bone growth, which was the major part of the surgery, they forgot to take pictures. So either they forgot to take pictures, somebody lost them, or he was just too busy and didn't feel like sending them. So I don't know. I would have liked to have seen that, but that's the best that I got. I'll try to find a way to put those in the vlog coming out very soon. But that's all I got for you for this week. So hopefully skating in full gear in less than a month from the time of this podcast going up, which would be great. I cannot wait for that. I got some new gear coming too on the way. I'll tell you right now, I got some new Warrior gear, which I'm really excited for. I got some custom G6 stuff. This is a little FedZeno Insight. So because the Fed is a Warrior League, we get Warrior pricing on, Fed pricing on Warrior gear. So I was thinking about ordering some new True gear that kind of like what I have already. But then I was like, well, why would I spend $4,000 on a set when I can get a set of Warrior for like $1,500? Mm-hmm. Like pad, glove, blocker, custom, done, faster wait time and everything. So I put in an order. You'll see on the screen here. This is my new set that should be coming shortly, maybe any day, any week. I don't know. They should be done very, very soon. And you'll see me wearing that hopefully when I start skating in a month.
I give Warrior a lot of credit, man. They managed to poke their nose in and really kind of disrupt what Bauer and Coho and a lot of the other brands that were doing. Good for them. And they've managed to last. By the way, I would love a whole custom-made set of sticks. Thanks.
Kirk, if you're listening, Wheels needs a stick. We can make something happen here, please.
All right. I'm gonna save my rock and roll hockey story for next week. Remind me. It's a good one.
We got time. We got a couple minutes left.
Always leave the audience wanting more.
Okay. Well, on that note, speaking of wanting more, we will see you and we will give you more next Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. That is 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 in the West Coast. Sing the Biscuit does a new episode every Sunday on the YouTube video version and on the Apple Spotify video version. If you're on the YouTube version, please hit the like button, leave a comment. We would love to talk to you. I know Dave doesn't do social media, but I reply to all the comments. Hit the subscribe button because I believe 60% of the people that listen to this podcast every week are not subscribed. So hit that button so you get notifications for all the clips that we post as well as the full episodes. If you're on Apple or Spotify, leave a little review. Thanks for supporting this podcast. Shout out to the amazing team at Sheath Underwear for making this podcast possible. Code BISCUIT69. We'll get you 20% off the best underwear money can buy. It is National League. And Mr. Dave Wheeler, oh my God, look at those guns. Look at those pythons he's flexing there. Absolute weapon. We'll see you next week.